Hi guys, I want you to check out Antonio's newest book, God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles. Not just because he is the host of the show is named after him, or because he's my best friend, but the book, if you allow it, it's powerful, it's life-changing, and it will help you change your perspective, something that we vividly talk about on this podcast. It's not a religious book. It is in a sense, but it's really a self-help book. And if you're struggling in life, if you're wandering around confused and lost and without a compass, this book will definitely guide you along your way. So look for God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles, written by Antonio T. Smith Jr. It is available everywhere. Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Nook Books, iBooks, and local bookstores near you. And if you go in a bookstore and it's not there, request that it's there so other people can be inspired, can be guided, and can change their life. Remember, God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles, written by Antonio T. Smith Jr.
Okay, guys, this is Brick by Brick. This is a impromptu interview. Tempest is monitoring. She is making some money right now, so I'll handle most of this episode. So I have a special guest on the phone. Her name is Rainey. Rainey, are you there?
I am here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Now, let me. I want to tell everybody about you real quick because I want to appeal to all our audience. So, Rainey is. She looks like she's 20. She's not, but she looks like she's 20. That's for sure. You have three successful daughters. Is that about right?
It's two.
Okay. But I got the successful part right.
Yes, you did that. That's for
okay,
sure.
Okay. If it was a third, would she be successful too? That's good.
She would.
Good. So we got two successful daughters, and I'm bringing that up, the success part, because that's what we're going to talk a lot about. We're going to talk about success, but we're going to talk about success in black business, because that's kind of your expertise. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It does.
Okay, good. So that's why I'm bringing it up. So I just want to let you know, so you're an awesome person.
Thank you.
Own a restaurant. Yes, no problem. And we first met on a TV show many years ago, and we stayed connected. And you have since evolved since I've known you. So let's talk about your evolution from caterer, owner, person. You know, how would you, what kind of business would you say you own? You still own it, but it's a catering company?
It's a catering company now. We're going back into the building. I'd say it was somewhere in the first quarter of next year. I took a break from the actual restaurant business to work on a program for the restaurant. So when we go back into the building, we will be a restaurant / job training program for restaurant and hospitality workers. So we train. I've been training youth out of pocket for about 10-12 years, kind of underground. People would come into the restaurant and say, you know, Ms. Rainey, I really love this Creole food. I want a job. Can you help me? So wow. I would say, you know, well, go home and bring a hairnet and an apron and come back and I'll let you, you know, you can shadow me.
Sure.
It kind of led to me then paying for them to go down to, you know, the health department and getting their food manager certification. And then we started partnering with other restaurants and hotels to find jobs for them. So underground, I was in the restaurant business, catering business, didn't have time to do much more than that. But the word kind of got out. And fast forward to today, we have government agencies now that have youth that are aging out. This program is for youth from at-risk communities, 16 to 22-year-old. And we got into people calling us about training their youth, say CPS, where the youth were aging out, needed a place, needed a job. And so I realized, although we didn't want to really get into dealing with that, realized that would be the only way. So we created several job programs in order to employ our youth, kind of keep them off the street, keep them out of trouble, and give them some, income. When you're a 17-year-old young lady with a child or two children, you know, McDonald's is just not going to cut it for you in terms of giving you enough income to take care of your child. So it kind of got into, it kind of started with that and has just blossomed into so much more.
Wow, yeah. So that's, yeah. So again, you totally evolved and had some evolution. And there's a bit more of this evolution because you're no longer just a caterer. You have become, this is the outside looking in, an advocate for small businesses and an advocate for neighborhood protection. So let's see if we can get you to talk about both of those elements.
Well, you know, when you've been in business as long as I have, in order to keep, you know, the momentum going, you know, you're always looking for other ways to, at least I was, always looking for other ways to improve my business and the relationship with the community. Now, it's easy for us to go and buy a building or rent a building and put up an open sign and wait for the community to come in. I got really tired of that. That became boring to me. I wanted to do more. And so I realized that as business people, it's kind of arrogant to open your doors and with an open sign and open your doors to serve people and not be engaged with the community that you were serving. I think it's arrogant to go to a certain part of town, open your door, and not know the name of the person who becomes a regular for you. And so we sometimes believe that the customer has to prove something by coming to us, when instead we have to prove why we're there. I think we have to prove that we are the best at what we do. We have to give the community a reason. You know, the responsibility is on us to ask the customer to give us support, not just open doors and assume that the customer has the right to come in the doors and make our businesses successful. So we started, I started working. As you engage with your customers, you start understanding and talking to them about some of the issues of the community. And that's why we changed the mission of the restaurant to a social enterprise restaurant, because we have been doing this and we intend to continue to get involved in the more social ills of our communities and try to, as a social enterprise, try to help our customers feel more comfortable in the neighborhoods and help to, you know, fix some of their problems while they're coming to us and spending their money.
Wow, yeah. So you got that. So that's what you did, both in the one. You got the neighborhood and then the customer. But in that, you evolved in more. You've evolved even more. And I love this part about what you do. And let me tell you why I love this, because I didn't know two things about what you do. And I want to talk about your corner store watch. Okay?
Okay.
But let me tell you why I love this. For one, I didn't even recognize a need for it. And that in itself is a bit shameful, because it escaped my awareness that there is a need for it. And then two, you are actually being effective in the work. So we want to talk about both aspects of that. But before we talk about both aspects, why don't you just tell us, what is this corner store watch? What does that mean?
Well, the corner store watchdogs were formed loosely in 2008, just a bunch of us sitting around talking about some of the mistreatment and some of the disrespect that we found was happening in some of the corner stores here in Houston. Now, we came from different parts of town, you know, working in the community, you know, organizing the community. And we continue to hear from the community about certain type of issues. Now, what makes this bad is that corner stores in our communities average about $5,000 a day. You probably didn't know that either. And that's on the low end. You can compare the stores to stores of old, say when our parents, your case maybe grandparents, were living in urban communities, which where you find most of the stores, and they could be compared to, the locations can be compared to 30, 40 years ago when corner stores were mostly meat markets, or they tried their best to replace, they were our grocery stores at the time, where a consumer could walk to the store, shop, you know, prices were moderate and affordable. And the store owners at the time, they pretty often worked in those stores themselves. They had a relationship with the community, and oftentimes they lived in the community. Fast forward to today, corner store merchants sell primarily beer, wine, tobacco products. They're basically, you know, the big ticket items are, you know, those are the big ticket items. Smaller ticket items would be candy, sundry items, you know, a few toiletries and dry goods. Now, when we got these complaints, we took a good look at this, and we saw that today corner stores in our communities, they have no real value. They're not replacing grocery stores. These items, you know, the beer, the wine, that kind of stuff can be bought anywhere. And we had to look at why people who were mistreating our community, calling them the N-word, not hiring anyone from our community, only taking in and not putting anything out. We had to kind of look at why they were so successful. And we realized that it was basically because of the ignorance, I hate to use that word, but that's just kind of what it turns out to be, of the community. So we started talking to the community and letting them know about their rights. And we started talking to the corner store owners and merchants as well. Because what happens in poor neighborhoods is that the merchants, they don't see us as really worthy of respect. And so when you can buy bongs, when they can bring in bongs, drug paraphernalia, and sell it behind the counter, when they bring in these gaming machines, which are illegal, because, you know, we all know, and the powers that be, the police, the government, they know that they're not giving out teddy bears for all the monies that are spent. We've started training our community and you know, trying to get them to understand that, you know, you're not going to have the respect and the dignity that you feel that you should have when you're the one who's in control of the community, because you're the one who's spending the money and you're not demanding anything from the corner store merchants. So that's kind of how it started. When we started contacting the corner store owners of the people that own these stores and their employees, and started to give them a list of some concerns that we had in terms of, you know, some things that were going on in the stores. And what's strange is that they're not used to, the industry itself is not used to people who are concerned about how they operate. And that's why a lot of them, most of them, operate the way they do.
Well, that makes sense. So I can already sense a series happening here, because you have an intelligent view of the community and also the church's role in the community when it concerns success. And I'm going to let Tempest intervene on that one, because she is going to love that one as well. But let's, you brought up something here, and I want to give you an opportunity to clear up some mud. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not just going after corner stores because they're making $5,000 a month on the low end. There's a reason why you're targeting some corner stores, and you brought up drug paraphernalia and things like that. So what is your main motivation for this corner store watch?
Well, when we saw I'm going to use Third Ward, for example, as
sure.
a model for this podcast to kind of break it down more to the
okay,
ridiculous
so,
for you.
So Third Ward for our listeners, is a low-income, historical African-American area in Houston, Texas. Okay, go ahead.
But the thing is, let me interject this.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are also million-dollar homes along the bayou.
Exactly.
So here we go with this. There are roughly 33,000 residents of Third Ward. That was the count 2 years ago by the city of Houston. In Third Ward, there are 17 convenience stores, corner stores, I'm sorry. So there's a difference between corner stores and convenience stores, and I'll get into that shortly.
Okay.
17 corner stores that are strategically placed in the lower income part of Third Ward. They're always going to be on the corner for high visibility, and they're always going to be in the middle of some of the poorest areas in Third Ward. Now, of course, this goes across the board in Houston, but I'm pretty much an expert at this in Third Ward because I live in Third Ward, I work in Third Ward, I've been doing this for a very long time in Third Ward. On the low end, it's $5,000 a day. Now, that does not include the drug paraphernalia behind the counter. Well, all they have to do is put a sign that says for entertainment purposes only. Because, you see, once the consumer buys that product, they're subject to be arrested for possessing drug paraphernalia when they walk out the door.
Wow.
The illegal gaming machine could bring them, especially around the first of the month, another $5,000 if you've got 10 in there. And people,
yeah.
Let's say you're positioned across the street, let's say from a huge government project, people don't have cars, they want to play with the machines, they're in the store, and so spending their money. So we took a look at this and realized that corner stores make more money than anyone in our community. And so
wow.
we approached them with the idea of, okay, you have this store. There are black business people in this area. Let us lease some space. Let us lease a shelf. There are business people in this area. Let us lease the food court. And we were always met with disinterest. So when we realized that the sole purpose was to take as much in as possible and put nothing out to the community, then we started looking at this as, okay, since we're in the process of forming organizations to bring more business, black business and brown business back to the community, let's start with these corner stores. So I will say this first. Every corner store in our areas can operate illegally because they all have weaknesses. So what we decided to do, how can they operate illegally? Because of Texas law. So we decided to use that law to find their weaknesses. And we have been successful in moving a few out of the neighborhood because of illegal business dealing. What do I mean by that? They're not set up to receive SNAP benefits, and they do it anyway. That's welfare fraud. When enough of that goes on, you know, they're more than fine. You know, that you're subject to being incarcerated. It takes time to do that. Now, we did not start off saying we're picking on the corner store merchants. Let's move them out. We went through years trying to work with them. They showed no interest. Why did they show no interest? Because there weren't enough of us. There were more people saying, take my money and disrespect me while you're doing it, than there were of us saying, don't do that. to our community. So it's easy to continue what works for you when you don't have much pushback. We have been successful in getting some of them out, but what happens is it's a network. So the owners of the locations they lease are in with this network. So we never get a chance to rent the spaces. There never is a for rent sign between the corner store operators. It's a network. It's done at night. We could run one out at night, and the very next day, another group can be in the store operating. And so we are on a mission now to work a little harder and work a little smarter in terms of dealing with more agencies that are set up to help us in this particular thing and basically let them know that you're either going to have to work with us in the community, you're going to have to share the wealth with black and brown people through their businesses, or you're going to have to make a decision.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And here's the truth for our listeners, and especially for you, Rainey. I'm sure we can do a 16-week semester off of what you just said right now. So we're going to have to find a clever way to unpack the very thing that you just said, because there's so much content that I know you have to only touch the surface on.
Yeah.
And I know you want to go. Yeah, I know
you know,
want
we
to
have
go
people to. Now that are in, waiting in line now. We're looking
yeah.
for people to want to co-op within these corner stores, in these communities, once we
okay.
Move them out.
So let's talk about that then.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have some consultants in the corner store business who tell us that, yes, you can actually open a corner store with as less as $5,000. Now, you don't want to do that. Of course, you want more money as a cushion. But if a location has already is equipped with the coolers and the shelving, that's a lot of your expense right there. If a location is, like I said, is equipped with your cooling and your shelving, that is the biggest part of your expense. When we talk about tobacco products, when you talk about the few canned goods that most of them find on the shelves, they're able to make $5,000 a day and more selling beer and wine, tobacco products, a lot of snack, salty, extra, you know, that snack food. They're making $5,000 a day on the low end selling
mm-hmm.
just those items. You see, and let me tell you about, expense on the other end. In
sure.
the restaurant, I'm going to have a huge budget for advertising simply because what I do is what people want, not what people need. There are other people in this town that sell Creole cuisine and very good Creole cuisine, as we do. So I'm going to have a huge budget for advertising, unlike corner store merchants who do not advertise, they don't have to advertise because they're strategically placed. And although we know our community doesn't need the alcohol, doesn't need the beer, doesn't need the wine, that they don't need the cigarettes, to them it's a need. And so people, corner stores don't have to advertise because they sell what our community thinks they need and not what they want.
Right. Right. Okay, that makes that obviously that makes sense. And of course, you have a – in fact, I'll even let you comment on it. You sound as if you have an issue, rightfully so if you do, about the unfair disproportion of – liquor stores in a black neighborhood than other neighborhoods, as though those neighborhoods are being targeted for, let's sell these unhealthy, salty, high cholesterol causing, issue causing, DUI causing, arrest causing issues in these communities versus other communities. Is that fair to?
Absolutely, it's fair. And we've gone so far as to approach them. These areas are considered food deserts, areas where the consumer doesn't have access to healthy food. So we've approached them with the idea of setting up as a healthy corner store.
Yeah.
And by doing that, we've just asked them to simply buy fresh fruit and just put it on the a display in the store. That way they will at least be able to support the local black and brown farmer in our neighborhood that supply the fruit and vegetables.
Wow.
We have not been able to have them to do that as well. I'm not picking on the corner store industry by any means.
So that's why I was actually going to give you a chance to clear up.
I'm not picking on the corner store. But when there's an industry that where members are told, if you want to make money, doing the least amount to get it, go to the set up in the black neighborhood. I have a problem with that, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
I have to work very hard for a living. And so it is important to me that when people come into our community and choose our community for a reason, that they do good business. We haven't even spoken about, and maybe this will be another show, the illegal dealings of corner store merchants. We haven't, you know, the city of Houston, a lot of people don't know that, but there is a convenience store, there's a corner store task force by the city of Houston. A lot of people don't even know that a lot of major cities have a task force. So when you think about that, you're thinking, well, okay, maybe this is an organization that's going to make it a lot easier for corner store merchants in the community to get together. But this is what it does. It stipulates that all corner stores must be registered with the city of Houston. Okay. Once they successfully register, the store is provided a security packet that includes, you know, an internet link to security training. It says it's helped to facilitate greater positive interaction between HPD and the convenience store to improve data tracking concerning crimes around convenience stores. So again, here's another agency that protects the dealings of a corner store merchant and causes the community and the residents to be seen as criminals. Do you see why I feel the way I do about this?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, of course, when that happens on the criminal side, then you get the judicial side. Now that helps, you know, the people cop pleas, and then now the conviction rate is sky high because poor people can't afford lawyers. Then now you have recidivism and going into the jail
Absolutely.
In the first place. So, so one big old cycle that people think doesn't happen, and you are stopping this cycle at the corner store level. So let me ask you two more questions, and we'll end this one here. But we're going to have you back on in a few hours from a different perspective. I want you to talk about black business and the church.
Okay.
And how... maybe how, if it helps or if it hurts. I'll let you have your way with that episode, and I'm going to let Tempest interview you there. She's the co-host of this show as well, and also a business partner of mine. And she's very empathetic.
How are you?
She's very empathetic. So we're definitely going to have a good conversation there, and I'll just be on the fly of the wall. I want you to briefly tell us, what's the difference between a corner store and a convenience store?
Well, a corner store, let's say a convenience store, is a lot larger than a corner store. I think their square footage has to be over 5,000 square feet, and they are more likely to sell hot foods, and they have to have public restrooms, unlike a corner store. Now, here's another problem I have with just how the city operates. Corner stores in Houston are not required to have a public restroom. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, let me tie this in. During Harvey, corner stores were, they never left. They were open. They were going to capitalize on that. No problem. That's what you can do. That's what you do. So there were lines in the stores when people could actually walk or wait in the water to the store. There were lines. You had seniors, you had children, people who wanted to use a restroom. Now they're dropping $75-$80 using their food stamps at the across the street corner store. And they're met with, we have no public restroom. Here's the problem. If you have a sign on a, and they all have those signs, all of them have those signs. It's a network. They all have those signs. So my question is, my thing with this, with the health department is, how can a convenience store have a sign on the door that says restroom out of order? Because that is directly against the health code, because employees, of course, have to use the restroom. Okay? So it would make more sense for them to say no public restroom. Either way, it is a slap in the face to a consumer who's standing there paying $80, $90 a whop because they can't get to the grocery store for 5 days because of the flood, because they can't get out, and not be able to use the restroom in case they want to. This goes back to the idea of the fact that people come to our community, they want to take everything in and are not willing to give anything back, not even the opportunity to use the restroom.
Wow. Okay?
So
you know what?
We're working on that. We're working on that as well. You see, these are weaknesses that we can capitalize, on. And when I say capitalize, again, we're not trying to run people out of business, but the day has come when you do operate in our community, we're going to have to be met with a lot more respect. And that's what this is about. We're doing things that we feel are necessary to restore dignity and respect between corner store merchants and our community.
Wow. Well, that makes sense. And it's not unfair. If anybody was to think it's unfair, and this isn't, you know, a side or another. You're just talking about fairness, because a corner store, now that you've explained to me the difference between a corner store and a convenience store, I've never seen a corner store in a affluent neighborhood in my life.
And when you do, you won't even think they're corner stores because they look different. They're clean.
Yeah.
You have access to restroom facilities. They're not overcrowded. They're not overrun with products. We're talking about these corner stores in our neighborhood. They sell, you find a lot of white socks sold. Look and think, oh, well, that's no problem. But what they're selling it because those are, a lot of people use those to huff paint. You see, so you see a bunch of white socks sold in corner stores. You know, they provide what we need on that end. Now, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, they wouldn't be able to do it if you didn't. Well, we're training our community. But our community's ignorance has nothing to do with someone else using that ignorance to take advantage of them. That's the point. That's the point I wanted to make about that.
Well, man, it's amazing. You've educated all our listeners. I guess we'll end right here. The last thing I'll ask you is, how do people, and all your information will be in the show notes. So, guys, if you want to listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out how to assist Rainey, how to donate to the community store Watchdogs, if you especially donate, this is a great opportunity to help rebuild and build and establish different cultures and all things in the city. So all her information will be in the show notes. You can just click it right there. You'll be able to see her. How does the Community Cab assist? How do you do that?
One thing the community can do is, I know a lot of people, you know, there are some of us who do not shop at convenience corner stores. But on the chances, you know, when you do, be very observant. If you would, be observant. And yes, in the notes, our contact information will be in there. We're compiling data to give to the corner store owners, because I don't mind telling you, if some things don't change, we're prepared to call for a boycott of some corner stores here in Houston. We're even prepared, in South Carolina, I'm watching this case very closely. In June of this year, a lawsuit was filed by a resident in Columbia, South Carolina. He alleged that last November, he went to 5 convenience stores, mostly to buy gasoline, and asked to use the restroom facilities, but was denied on each occasion. And he says it's because of his race. Why does he say it's because of his race? Because his attorneys made a private investigation that revealed that the defendants allowed white customers to use the facilities when requested, all of them on more than one occasion. So along with the fact that we're prepared to call for a boycott, because we know people don't understand anything but money, and if that's what it's going to take to get people to listen to us and change the way they operate, we're prepared to do that. We're also prepared to file a class action suit here in Houston, in each precinct and area where these stores are, you know, right here in the city. So we've been kind of lollygagging with this scene for a while. It's time now to get people's attention. We're not trying to move anyone out. We're trying to restore dignity and respect. And when dignity and respect is lost, it takes a while to get it back. What we could do, what the listeners could do, is contact us to see how, maybe they can be of assistance in checking a few things out, you know, for us. We have an email that we'll send out to say what those things are. Also, our biggest expense is envelopes and stamps. If anyone wants to donate, that's all we'd be asking someone to do at this point. It's envelopes and stamps, because we spend a lot of time sending out correspondence to corner store owners, and the owners of the businesses.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Well, thank you, Rainey. We definitely appreciate you. Tell them how they can contact you real quick, even though it'll be in the show notes, and we'll close it out.
They can contact me at vdika@yahoo@gmail.com. That's V as in Victor, double E, D as in dog, E, C as in cat, @gmail.com.
Okay, that'll also be in the show notes. Rainey Decatur, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you her Saving Houston's Third Ward and the World, one corner store at a time. This is Brick by Brick. We're going to have her back on here shortly, probably tonight, but you guys, you're here back-to-back when it gets released, and we're going to talk about almost the same subject, but from a church perspective, and is or is not, or can we do anything to raise awareness about business and church. We'll do all that here. Thank you, guys, Brick by Brick. Continue to follow her. She has her own podcast, too. Real quick, tell us about the podcast. Just drop the name.
It is called Fannie Lou's Children. Fannie Lou's Children is the name of the podcast. It's a nod to my shero, Fannie Lou. I'm sorry, Fannie Lou Hamer.
The link to that podcast as well will also be in. I put the SoundCloud link and the iTunes link so you can follow her and subscribe to her podcast right now. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out. God bless you and good night.
Hi, guys. I want you to check out Antonio's newest book, God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles. Not just because he is the host of the show is named after him, or because he's my best friend, but the book, if you allow it, is powerful, it's life-changing, and it will help you change your perspective, something that we vividly talk about on this podcast. It's not a religious book. It is in a sense, but it's really a self-help book. And if you're struggling in life, if you're wandering around confused and lost and without a compass, this book will definitely guide you along your way. So look for God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles, written by Antonio T. Smith Jr. It is available everywhere. Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Nook Books, iBooks, and local bookstores near you. And if you go in a bookstore and it's not there, request that it's there so other people can be inspired, can be guided, and can change their life. Remember, God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles, written by Antonio T. Smith Jr.